They say the first step to solving a problem is admitting you have a problem in the first place. Well, poor versus para, we've got a problem. Hola, soy Jordan, and this is a Spanish quickie. Fast, easy Spanish lessons from somebody who speaks your language. Okay, poor versus para is a problem, but why exactly is it so tricky? Well, there are a few reasons, actually. The first reason, and this is what gets everybody's attention, you've probably heard that poor and para both mean four. And that's kind of true. If you've seen the video How Words Work, and you should if you haven't, the link is below this video or in the description, you know that words don't mean words. So poor and para don't really mean four, that's just how we talk. More accurately said, por and para are both commonly used in Spanish when we use for in English. What that means is, when you want to say for in Spanish, you have to decide between por and para, and there's no magic rule I can give you that'll get you to the right choice every time. But that's not all. The second reason this is tricky for us is, sometimes they say por or para when we wouldn't say for. So when you see por or para in Spanish, it doesn't always mean for. Por and para both mean a ton of different things. In fact, I'd say para means for, but it also means other stuff sometimes. And por means a bunch of stuff, and sometimes it means for. Feel the difference? Like I said before, there's not some magic rule or shortcut I can give you that'll help you pick correctly between por and para every time. To really learn por and para perfectly, you have to learn all their specific uses, about 5 to 7 each, then practice them like crazy. Perfection only comes with time and practice. But here's the thing. I consider it a crime and a total waste of your time to cram and try to learn all the different uses of por and para all at once. It's like with verb conjugation. People always tell me they're having a hard time with irregular conjugation, but I soon find out they don't even know their regular conjugations. How can you expect to notice how a verb is irregular if you don't even know what a regular one looks like? You can't. You have to learn the regulars first, one at a time, and only then, only when you know the regulars like the back of your hand, should you move on to the irregulars. But again, one at a time. Try to learn them all and you'll end up knowing none. My point is, with por and para, most books throw all the rules at you at once, but that's a crime. So that's not what we're gonna do here today. When you finish this video, if you just have the general gist of when to use por and para, then I consider this a success. If you just basically understand the ideas behind por and para, you'll be able to choose the right one at the right time about 75% of the time. And when you don't, it won't take you long to understand your mistake. First, we're gonna discuss para, then we'll cover por, then, and this is really where the magic happens, we'll compare the two. You'll see both words in similar sentences and in the same sentence. Okay, para. I want you to get it out of your head that para means for. For the sake of this conversation, I want you to picture the word para and next to it, imagine a big red arrow. For the rest of this video, para is an arrow. And more specifically, para is an arrow sticking into something. One of the most common uses of para is when you're talking about a destination. For example, the sofa is for the office. That means the sofa is going to the office. The destination of the sofa is the office. So the sofa is for the office in Spanish would be el sofá es para la oficina. When you would say for in English and you're talking about a destination, use the word para in Spanish. Can you picture para being used as an arrow in this sentence? Where's the sofa go? It goes to the office, and to show you where it goes, here's a blueprint of the building with a big red arrow pointing right to the office. Another destination example, Manuel's house is perfect for the party. That means Manuel's house is a perfect destination for the party. You could easily picture a big red arrow on the map of Valencia, where Manuel lives, pointing right to Manuel's house. Manuel's house is perfect for the party. La casa de Manuel es perfecta para la fiesta. When you would say for in English and you're talking about a destination, you say para in Spanish. Pretty cool, no? Para is an arrow. Picture that arrow. We're gonna keep coming back to that idea throughout this video. Another example of destination. I leave for school at 8 o'clock. For school means the school is my destination. So salgo para la escuela a las 8. Again, not hard to picture a big red arrow pointing directly to the school on a map. And closely related to destination, when you'd say for in English and are talking about a recipient, you use para in Spanish. So when something is for somebody, you use para. And really, a recipient is just a specific type of destination, right? The money is for Carlos. El dinero es para Carlos. Carlos is the recipient of the money. Carlos is the destination of the money. Arrow going forward, sticking into Carlos. Sorry, Carlos, at least you got the money. I have gifts for the kids. Tengo regalos para los niños. I'm not gonna joke about putting arrows into kids, but the kids are the recipients or destination of the gifts. You got this? Okay, next situation. When you'd say for in English and are talking about a purpose, use para in Spanish. So for example, this backpack is for traveling. The purpose of the backpack is to travel. So esta mochila es para viajar. I want you to notice two things. First, in Spanish, when a verb follows a preposition, it always goes in the infinitive form. In this example, in English, we say traveling, the ing form of the verb, but in Spanish, they say viajar, the infinitive form of the verb. That's a strict rule with zero exceptions. When a verb follows a preposition in Spanish, it's always in the infinitive form. In this example, the arrow isn't apparent as quickly as it was with destination and recipient. Purpose? I don't really see it. But when you restate purpose as a goal or even better, an aim, the arrow becomes much more apparent. Like an aim is a purpose or goal, but you also aim at a target. So for purpose, goals, and aims, always picture aiming attention from the subject to whatever the purpose is. In this case, from the backpack to traveling. This backpack is for traveling. Esta mochila es para viajar. Arrow from the backpack to traveling. Another example of this. The notebook is for writing. The purpose or aim of the notebook is writing. Imagine a big red arrow from the book to writing. That's the aim of the notebook. The notebook is for writing. El cuaderno es para escribir. And the last use of para for today, deadlines. If you would say for in English and are talking about a deadline, use para in Spanish. I need the money for Monday would be necesito el dinero para el lunes. It's not hard to picture the arrow with this one. Just imagine it on a calendar pointing right to the day or time of the deadline. It will be ready for Friday would be va estar listo para el viernes. Arrow pointing to Friday on the calendar. Pretty clear? If you would say for in English and you're talking about a destination, recipient, aim, or deadline, you use para in Spanish. And don't forget, there are other uses of para out there. We're just focusing on these four today because Rome wasn't built in a day. And if it had been, it wouldn't have lasted as long as it did. Wait, Rome did last a long time, right? Now, so far, in all the examples you've seen, para was used when we would say for in English. But like I said at the beginning of this video, para is also often used in Spanish when we wouldn't say for in English. Like this. I'm going to Spain. You could, and I normally would, say voy a España. I'm going to Spain. But, and this will probably seem a little weird at first, you can also say I'm going to Spain with voy para España. Both sentences, voy a España and voy para España, mean I'm going to Spain. Notice Spain is my destination, so this goes along with what we discussed earlier, that para is used for destination. But now the difference is we're using para in a sentence where we wouldn't say for in English. Even if you never say it like this, you have to recognize it when you see it. Voy para España means I'm going to Spain. Once you practice this and see it a few times, it's not hard to get used to. I'm going to the store could be said voy a la tienda, but it could also be said voy para la tienda. Both sentences mean the same thing, and both are pretty common. It works like this with purpose too. We eat to live. That's saying the purpose of eating is to live. In Spanish, that would be comemos para vivir. This is a very common way to use para. For purpose, when we would normally say to something, they say for something or para something. You study to learn Spanish, estudias para aprender español. Even though we say to in English, they say para in Spanish. And just like we discussed earlier, para is used for goals, purpose, or sticking with the arrow theme and aim. The aim of studying is to learn Spanish. Estudias para aprender español. Deadlines too. I need the money for Monday. Necesito el dinero para el lunes. That's what you saw before. But para is also often used with deadlines when we would say by, on, or before in English. I need the money by Monday could also be said necesito el dinero para el lunes. And I need the money before Monday could be said necesito el dinero para el lunes. As long as the idea behind the sentence is Monday is the deadline by which you need the money, you can use para. You can also use antes de or before to express the same thing. Necesito el dinero antes de lunes. I need the money before Monday. But even if you say it with antes de every time, you have to be able to recognize para used in all these different ways. Para el lunes is for Monday, by Monday, or before Monday. In all those sentences, the deadline is Monday. Okay, we're done with para. Let's focus on por. I want you to forget that por means for. For the rest of this video, I want you to think of por as something that goes between two things, like a path. A path is between the start and the finish. Por is that path. This will be clearer in a second. One of the most common uses of por is with duration. Duration is a path, right? From the beginning of a time period to the end of that time period, you see the path? When you'd say for in English and you're talking about duration, use por in Spanish. So I'll be here for 2 weeks. That could be voy a estar aquí por dos semanas. Do you see the path? It's from the beginning of the time I'm here to the end of the time I'm here, and it lasts 2 weeks. Voy a estar aquí por dos semanas. I'm going to the beach for the day would be voy a la playa por el día. The path is from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, for the day. Voy a la playa por el día. Another way por manifests itself as the go-between is it acts like a scale, the kind of scale that tells you when two things are equal. You put one thing on each side until they're even. Is that how it works? Well, that's what por does. One of the most common uses of por in this way is when you buy something. I'll give you $100 for the television. I'm saying I think the TV is worth $100. The value of the money is equal to that of the TV. I want to trade, buy, substitute, or exchange the money for the TV. Te doy $100 por la televisión. So when you'd say for in English and you're talking about a purchase, a trade, an exchange, or a substitute, you use por in Spanish. We pay $20 for dinner. That could be pagamos $20 por la cena. That's a purchase. You pay a price for something. Use por. Daniel traded his book for a magazine. Daniel cambió su libro por una revista. That's a trade. You trade one thing for another. Use por. A super common example of this is when you thank somebody for something. Thank you for the good food would be gracias por la buena comida. You're trading your thanks for the good food. Another common use of por is with emotions. When you would say for in English and you're talking about emotions, use por in Spanish. I have a lot of respect for my parents. Tengo mucho respeto por mis padres. Even though you can look at this sentence like my parents are the recipients of my respect, don't do that. For emotions, you use por. So it's better to look at it like my parents equals respect. My parents on one side of the scale, respect on the other. I have lots of love for my friends. Siento mucho amor por mis amigos. My friends equals love. My friends on one side, love on the other. Now, in all the examples so far, por was used in Spanish when we would say for in English, for duration, exchanges, and emotions. But just like para, and even more so, por is used a lot in Spanish when we wouldn't say for in English. Like for times of the day, in the morning could be said en la mañana or por la mañana. And that fits with our path or duration thing from earlier. In the morning really just means from the beginning of the morning until the end of the morning. It works like that for all the times of the day. In the afternoon, por la tarde. At night, por la noche. So we study in the morning could be estudiamos por la mañana. We eat dinner at night could be cenamos por la noche. Another common, pretty easy use of por is for the English word per. There are 7 days per week. Hay 7 días por semana. I think the scale works best to explain the use of por for per. There's a week on one side of the scale and 7 days on the other. 1 week equals 7 days. Hay 7 días por semana. This has ramifications on the word percent, or in Spanish, por ciento. So per is still por, but then the word percent is two words in Spanish, por ciento. 6% of the world speaks Spanish would be 6% del mundo habla español. Okay, two more uses of of por before we compare it to para. Por is used to express the means through which we travel, communicate, and probably other stuff too. So, I travel to Amsterdam by airplane could be viajo a Amsterdam por avión. See how we say by airplane, but they say por avión? I'm going to Spain via train could be voy a España por tren. Por is being used in this case as by or via or through the traveling method of an airplane or train. It works like this for communication methods too. I'm writing to you by email. Te escribo por email. I'm talking to you on the telephone. Te hablo por teléfono. Transportation takes you from one place to another. It's the go-between. Planes, trains, buses, and boats all follow a path. But communication takes your idea or your words to another place. It's the go-between also. Telephones, emails, letters, they all follow a path. Okay, last use of por for today, and it's important and super common. In Spanish, they use por when talking about a not final destination. I'm going to Spain via Paris could be voy a España por París. You use por with Paris and not para because Paris isn't the final destination, Spain is. I'm just going to Paris on the way to Spain. Again, I'm going through Paris or via Paris. Voy a España por París. And sometimes this idea of a not final destination is expressed through the sentiment of the sentence, not through the specific words. Thinking of por as through will really help you. Look at this example. She walks through the store. Ella camina por la tienda. Por is used as through here. She'll begin and end at the entrance of the store, which is also the exit. Through usually implies a path of some kind. A path is between two things. Por is the go-between. If that's not perfectly clear, I think when you see por and para used in the same sentence, it will be. This is when it really hit me. I'm going to Spain via Paris. Voy para España por París. You use para after voy because Spain is my final destination. I'm going to Spain. Voy para España. You could say voy a España there, but I'm trying to make a point. Then you use por before Paris because Paris is not the final destination. It's on the path, on the way to my final destination. Por París basically means via Paris or through Paris. The arrow, para, points to Spain. I'm going to Spain. Voy para España. But Paris is in the path, por, on the way to Spain, via Paris, por París. I'm going to Spain through Paris. Voy para España por París. Pretty cool, no? You got this now? Here's a good one. I'm going to work for my friend. That can mean two things. It can mean my friend will be the recipient of my work, like my boss. I'm going to work for my friend. But it could also mean my friend and I are co-workers, and today he can't work, so I'm working in his place. I'm going to work for my friend. For the first way, with my friend being the recipient of my work, like my boss, you'd use para. Voy a trabajar para mi amigo. I'm going to work for my friend. Then for the second way, where I'm going to work in place of my friend as a substitute, you'd use por. I'm going to work for my friend. Voy a trabajar por mi amigo. If you remember nothing else from this video, but understand the difference between those two sentences, por and para will give you much less trouble in the future. Last example, then we're out of here. Vamos para Argentina, por Brasil, por avión, por la mañana. We're going to Argentina, final destination, via Brazil, not final destination, via airplane, method of transportation, in the morning, time of the day. Vamos para Argentina, por Brasil, por avión, por la mañana. We're going to Argentina, through Brazil, via airplane, in the morning. Okay, that's it for today. Para is an arrow. Por is the go-between, like a path or a scale. What I want you to do right now is download the free practice worksheet below this video or in the description and do it. If you get all those right, you've got a good command for this. If you get any wrong, don't worry, that's totally normal. Figure out what you did wrong. Email me if you have any questions. Then do the same free practice worksheet again. Really know the answers. Then do the second free practice worksheet. Don't do them both at the same time. That defeats the purpose. I took the time to make two free practice worksheets for this lesson because I want you to see fresh examples after you figure out why you made the mistakes you did the first time around. And if you really want to conquer por versus para, memorize all the examples in this video and on the two free practice worksheets. Really memorize them until you feel them in your bones. Even better, read them out loud. Read them out loud over and over again. Not only will you be training your mouth and your brain this way, but you'll feel awesome. I call that the Spanish high. If you read this stuff out loud over and over, getting better and better every time, you will get the Spanish high. And it's that high that'll catapult you to learning even more Spanish, which will get you even higher. A virtuous circle is born. Drop me a line and tell me how this video helped you, or ask me any questions you have. Then I'll see you next time. Hasta luego. Adios, amigo.